What was the question that Jesus asked the apostles, which they didn't want to answer? Well, there was a case in the Bible where the apostles had been arguing with each other. And later, Jesus asked them what it was that they were arguing about. But they wouldn't answer. Now, it's not that they could not answer him. They knew what it was all about. They knew why they had been arguing, but they wouldn't respond to him. They didn't want to admit what it was. And the problem, the issue, was that they were arguing with each other about who was going to be the greatest. Now, folks, to this day, we have a problem with this. Too many of us want to be the center of attention. Too many of us want to be the boss. Too many times we want to be the one at the top and the person in charge. We all have a selfish streak. We don't like to admit that, but everybody does. We look out for ourselves more than other people most of the time. Now, Paul said that there would be lovers of their own selves in the last days or in this last dispensation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And when we look around and just think about it, we realize that this happens early and in every area of life. In homes, brothers and sisters fight to get attention. They argue in order to get what they want and to have their way, and to try to get as much control as they possibly can. People politic and they betray each other at workplaces. It's a shame that fellow workers lie and scheme and backbite to get promoted, to get attention, to gain control, to make more money. And of course, if there's any field where this is prominent, it's the political arena. It's absolutely eaten up with this kind of thinking. Politicians will do anything to get a position. Thomas Jefferson once said that when a man starts longing for power, there is a rottenness that develops in his heart and will eat away at everything around it. Now, sadly, but not surprisingly, this kind of attitude is in churches. There's a man that we read about in the book of 3 John. His name is not a familiar one, but the problem is very common. His name was Diotrephes. The Bible says in 3 John verses 9 and 10 that Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence among the brethren. He was going to have his way. And if you disagreed with him, he was literally putting people out of the church over matters of opinion and over things that he had no right to disagree with them about and make laws concerning. Now, there are all kinds of power struggles in congregations of the Lord's people. Sometimes it's one man that tries to run everything and tries to run over everybody. It can be one family that thinks that they're the ones that run the church. It can and oftentimes is the preacher, because he thinks that he's the man that's in charge and is over the flock. It can be a woman, or it can be a few women who try to run everything. Now, I want you to remember, folks, that the Bible does teach that in a local congregation of the body of Christ, the Bible does teach a structure of authority, that there are some people that are in positions of making decisions. They have that authority delegated to them by the Lord. They're not to abuse that authority, but at the same time they have it, and the others are to submit to them. Now, the Bible plainly says that when you have qualified men, that is, men that meet the requirements set forth in the Bible in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, then they are to be elders or bishops or pastors in a congregation. This is a body, this is a group of men who meet these requirements. And the Bible plainly says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, to obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So the Bible says that God wants these men to be in a local congregation to make those decisions, and the other members are to obey them because they are to submit to them since they have rule over them. Now somebody says, well, what about a congregation where you don't have any men that meet those qualifications set forth in the Bible? Well, the Bible shows us that then the men of the congregation should take the lead, because it is taught throughout the Bible that the women are to submit to the men in such matters. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, you find that taught, and in many other passages of Scripture. But we see something here in the case of the apostles of Jesus Christ, and that is that men have a habit of striving for the control. Now, the disciples, and I'm talking here about the apostles, argued about this. They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. Perhaps not so much in ability, perhaps not so much greatest in terms of success or accomplishments, but greatest in terms of power. The greatest in terms of the position that they were looking for. You have to remember here, folks, that Jesus was the king, and they thought that the kingdom was going to be an earthly empire. So they're naturally going to serve under him, and they realize that they have been specially chosen by the Lord, that is, by their king. So they just naturally assumed that somebody was going to be in charge. Now, I realize, of course, that the Catholic Church says that Peter was the man who was chosen for this position. But Jesus never said that. Jesus never said that Peter came to be the top one among the apostles who had authority over the rest of the apostles. You never read about that in the Bible. That is not in the Scriptures. But still, the apostles argued about this. And of course, they thought that they were keeping it from Jesus, as they were traveling by the way, the Bible says. They were arguing about this, and Jesus eventually asked them, "What were you arguing about?" So they thought that Jesus didn't hear it, that Jesus didn't know it. Now, they should have known better, but so should we today. Jesus knew what they were arguing about, and Jesus sees every power struggle in any congregation of his people today. He knows who's involved, and he knows what's happening. Now, how did Jesus deal with this problem? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9. We're reading from Luke chapter 9 today, beginning in verse 46. "Then there arose a reasoning," that is, a dispute or an argument among them, "which of them should be the greatest?" Now again, this is the apostles here specifically. "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." Now, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 18 that you find these words about the same subject. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, that's what we find going on here, folks. Jesus, in order to rebuke his apostles, calls a little child, and he uses that little child as an object lesson. Now, we might have thought that in order to correct them, that he would take them by the collar and shake them, that he would get mad and blast them, or that he would say, "Fellas, that's it. It's over. You're not going to be my apostles anymore," and he just got rid of them, and he would just get somebody else. But that's not what he did. He taught them, and he taught them in a very interesting way. He used this little child, someone that these grown men would never have imagined, perhaps, and someone that they definitely were not threatened by. And Jesus said, "Do you want to be great? Do you want me to explain to you what greatness is? It's not getting power like you think it is." And folks, several times in the Bible, they argued about this. Several times they got mad at each other, and they competed against each other to try to get to the top, to try to determine who was going to be in power, who was going to be the center of attention, and who was going to be the boss. And Jesus is shaming them here. Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, let me explain to you. Let me define for you what greatness is. It's not what you think it is, and it's not what you're arguing about. And let me remind you, folks, that there were several times where Jesus had to do something like this. Now here, what he does is to take a little child and to say, do you want to be great? And do you want me to show you what greatness is? You look at this little child right here. Now, what is it that's so great about a little child? Well, a little child is humble. A little child does not hold grudges. A little child can be taught. You can teach a little child, and you can correct a little child. But grown-ups are oftentimes not that way. Too many times you cannot teach a grown-up. Too many times you certainly cannot correct a grown-up. And oftentimes, those who are adults look out for their own interest, and they're not averse to running over somebody. They're not even averse to betraying somebody. And the disloyalty that you see among human beings is a very common thing according to what we're looking at right here. Now, in Luke chapter 9, we find then that he takes this little child and he says, if you want to be great, then you're going to have to be like this little child. There was another time where two of Jesus' apostles came to him with their own mother, and they wanted the top positions in the kingdom. Do you remember who they were? That was Peter and John. Peter and John came to Jesus and they said, we've got to ask you something here. And Jesus said, of course, what is it? And the mother said to Jesus that she wanted the top positions in the kingdom for her two sons, that one might sit on the right hand of Jesus and the other on the left hand of Jesus. Now that means the top two positions of power. Well, what happened after that, of course, is that the other disciples were furious. And Jesus told them, look, it's not about what you think it is, and if you're trying to be the greatest, you've got the wrong attitude. Because whoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant, because I'm the one that's actually in charge here, and look at what I'm doing. I am here as a servant. And that's not the last time either, because the night before Jesus was crucified, the apostles were arguing again who was going to be the greatest. And that's when Jesus gave them another lesson. That's the famous story where Jesus washed their feet. That should have embarrassed them. And you would think that it would have humiliated them. And we might add that after Jesus died and after the church was established, that you don't really read in the New Testament, after the church has been established now, you really don't read about these power struggles like you do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm not saying that they didn't have problems, but they did not have the kind of struggles that we're reading about right here. So evidently, they got the point, and so it needs to be with us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And if we want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, then we need to be a servant of other people. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.